Entrepreneurs, small business owners, professionals who seek excellence, bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builders Show. Here's Marty Wolf.
We still got a long way to go. Yes, we all got a long way to go.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of the Business Builders Show. I'm your business coach, Marty Wolf, and your host for the Business Builder Show. Joining me in the studio is my sidekick, Mr. Kerry Carney. Hi, Kerry.
Hello, Marty.
And our producer, the very attractive, dynamic, Mr. Tom Jenkins. Hi, Tom.
That's why I'm on the radio, Marty.
The action man.
Another member of our team, Dr. Tony Massari, will be offering his comments later in the show. The Business Builder Show is for entrepreneurs, small business owners, and professionals who seek excellence. We deliver tips to help you run your business on the topics of technology, sales and marketing, finance, leadership, innovation, and personal development. We do all we can to bring the classroom to you. Kerry and Tom, today we are going to be talking about communication. Now, our primary discussion will be around our social media communications, and our interview with Paul Slack might give us a headache at first, but then he's going to give us some peace of mind.
It's a lot to think of.
There's a lot, and it'll be, but he calms us down. He's going to give us peace of mind. Then later in the show, we're going to try to connect our electronic communication with our person-to-person communication so we can see how they can and should work together. So let's get started with something you'll hear us discussing with Paul Slack in his interview today. This concept, Kerry and I found really interesting. It's called Zero Moment of Truth, or ZMOT. I don't know if can we say that ZMOT or what should we how should we say that?
I just like ZMOT.
Okay, well, we'll keep using that ZMOT. This comes from a really interesting report from Google. And if you are in business today, which a lot of our audience members are in business, I strongly suggest you get this ebook or the workbook on this topic. And again, it's ZMOT. I had to say that shortened version. ZMOT, or Zero Moment of Truth. It's a big report, Kerry, so we can't cover the whole thing today, but I took one portion of it, and the title of this portion is The Evolution of the Shopper. And the first thing it says is, which can be a little scary to some of us, it says, the sales funnel isn't really a funnel anymore. What does that mean, Kerry?
Well, the report is absolutely fascinating. And instead of the old sales analogy that there was a funnel, that you put it all in the top, an upside down pyramid, and your leads, cold calls, whatever, would go in that funnel, and then out through the bottom would come like one sale at a time.
Right.
Right now, based on this report, and I believe it's honestly true, it's all about multiple paths mm-hmm. to making that moment of truth.
Correct.
And there are a number of anchors in the path, but individual buyers pinball back and forth.
It's a good way to put
it. Paths.
Pinball. They call it a multi-channel marketplace. Multi-channel marketplace. You know, usually it was quote unquote the old days, which is pre-internet, which is not that long ago,
right.
Quite frankly. You know, people ran TV ads, and, you know, they told people where to go, and they talked about the specials, and then maybe there was a coupon, and maybe you talked to your friends or neighbors about, you know, a potential purchase that you were thinking about. Now
most
it's a lot different, right?
After it. In print, I think, predated TV.
Yes, yes.
You saw chicken was on sale,
right,
for 99 cents a pound with the coupon. You grabbed the coupon, you ran to your local purveyor, and then you came back and you told your neighbor, oh yeah, they got a great sale at XYZ shop for chicken, 99 cents a pound.
That's all changed now. Now we have, instead of a funnel, it looks like, I'm looking at this, and it looks like a flight map. You know, you'll see dots connecting different things. And what it's connecting is TV, friends and family, online, print media, and brick and mortar stores. So it's, like we said, it's not a funnel anymore. It's like a flight map. And this study came from a group called Social Sciences, and it was done in 2012. And they looked at the journey for 3,000 shoppers, the journey of from beginning to the end in tech, in consumer products, auto and finance. And when they tracked this, they looked at 3,000 people, and all of them went through that purchasing decision differently.
3,000 different approaches.
With one main thing that kind of is the hub, we'll call it.
The linchpin.
And it was online search. So there was all these different ways that people were buying things, ultimately buying things. And, you know, and I also want to point something out. Yeah, obviously, we're talking about ultimately somebody buying something, but you also have to think about this in terms of getting people to the next step. So you have to close that part of it. You have to engage someone to go to the next step, whether that is to go to your store or go to another site or do more research. So I think that's an important part of this discussion,
Kerry.
Yeah,
you may have saw something cool on TV. You jumped on the computer. You learned a little bit more about it. You asked a friend, hey, did you see this product? And they said, oh, yeah, ABC store has it.
Right.
So then you went back and looked at ABC store's offering, and then it bounced back and forth, like you said, ultimately landing in a shopping cart.
It says, no matter where consumers entered their journey, whether that was a friend referral or coming looking at a TV ad or a print ad, whatever, no matter where consumers entered their journey, they touched down on search at least once, and that's obviously online. So the first time ever, here's another interesting statistic, is that online search now has replaced referrals from friends and family, which was pretty much a traditional way that you got referrals. And so there's some real challenges here. And here's the five key challenges that we have in terms of this world. And the first one is a ZMOT shopper, a zero moment of truth shopper, is unique. As we said, 3,000 searches and 3,000 processes in terms of making a purchasing decision, they're no longer linear. They're all self-directed. They're going in different directions. So you have to think of each buyer as unique.
And that's their unique flight plan to buy.
You got it. It's never been easier to walk out of a store. Now, Kerry, you and I have talked about this. It's never easier to walk out of a store. There's statistics in here that says people are in line, ready to pay for something, and they're searching on their iPad or on their smartphone, and they're getting out of line because they see a special deal or a special discount or something like that.
Even worse online, Marty.
People will go online
and put things in their cart and then abandon their online purchase. 70%.
70%. They're in there. They're ready to buy, and they leave you. So the question is, how do you keep them engaged? Push advertising alone isn't enough anymore, meaning the traditional media where you push people, you told people where to go. That doesn't happen anymore. We're all about pull media, all connecting all these dots and all this cross-shopping behavior, which is looking at all the different ways of, you know, you're going to have to continue to do the online search and the print and the radio and all those other kind of things. And you know what? They're not in competition with each other.
No civil war there.
No, you have to work together. So the message is, the flight map of today may not be the funnel of the past, but it's the retailer's challenge today. And so get this article, ZMOT, Zero Moment of Truth. Believe it or not, our first segment is ready to wrap up. We will be right back.
Bringing the business classroom to you, it's the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf. Presenting the thought leaders of today, it's the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf.
Welcome back to the Business Builders Show. Our special guest today is Paul Slack. Paul has more than 20 years of direct marketing experience. He got his first taste of web marketing consulting in the 1990s as the internet began to make its presence felt in the business world. Those early days gave Paul a strong foundation in search engine marketing and search engine optimization. Paul Paul built on that experience as CEO of Webdex Media Group, which is a Dallas-based firm that he founded in 2000. Paul is now in demand as a consultant, trainer, and featured speaker on social media and search engine marketing. Paul is also the author of Social Rules for Entrepreneurs and Small Businesses, a common sense guide to social media marketing. Paul Slack, welcome to the Business Builder Show.
Thanks, Marty. Really excited to be here.
It's terrific. I'm really looking forward to this. We do talk, one of the favorite topics of the show is technology. Now, let me start right at the beginning, or start with the obvious. Give us your best pitch on why small and medium-sized businesses need to engage in this thing called social media.
You know, Marty, I get that question quite a bit because a lot of businesses think that social media is Facebook, and really social media marketing is certainly a lot more than just one site. But if we just take that one platform, Facebook, and understand that there's a billion people on Facebook today, we really don't have a choice not to be in social media because that's where our customers are. And if we want to connect with our customers in a way that they're comfortable with and actually create what I call these virtual personal relationships, which is one of the great things that social media has really enabled businesses to do, is have these person-to-person relationships through social media that feel very real. Mm-hmm. And so we have to go where they are, and we have to connect with them in a way that they want to be connected with. Mm-hmm. On top of that, Marty, did you know that social media is now the number one activity that consumers are doing in the United States today? For every hour they spend online, we're actually spending 24% of that time in social media. And just to give you something to relate that to, that's three times more time than we're spending on email today. So consumers are definitely in social media, and if a business wants a way to connect with these consumers, they have to go there. Another reason why this is really important is that social media has given us this ability to connect with what I call a future buyer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you think about buyers today, we're the most well-informed, educated buyers of all time. You know, we have this desire that pops up, some kind of a stimulus, a need, want, desire. Maybe we're trying to go on vacation or just need a new software package for our office. Before we talk to a sales rep today, what we're doing is we're going online and researching and asking questions, trying to find the best solution to stretch our dollar as far as we possibly can. And so the opportunity that social media has really created for us as businesses is that we can engage with those future buyers because they're easy to find through social media because they're out there asking questions and doing research, help them make formulated buying decisions, or help them formulate their buying criteria, rather, so that they do make good, positive purchase decisions for themselves or for their business. And that's a great opportunity that social media brings to the table.
Wow. Small businesses, really. Those statistics are staggering, Paul. I mean, you really can't avoid this. Now, I have a kind of a side question. This these letters, Z-M-O-T, Z-M-O-T, what does that mean? Is that connected to what you're talking to us about?
Absolutely, and thanks for bringing that up. ZMOT is an acronym for the Zero Moment of Truth, and this Zero Moment of Truth is actually the result of a big study that was initiated by Google, really trying to understand how buyer behavior has changed over the last decade or so, really since the advent of the internet and really social media. And what they've discovered through this study is that buyer behavior absolutely has changed as a result of social media, and it goes right back to this idea that we're using the web to research before we engage with a company. Mm-hmm. And so the another reason why businesses must be in social media today is if you're not and you're waiting for your phone to ring, if that's the first time you engage with a potential customer, the bad news today is that it's kind of too late.
Mm-hmm.
Because statistically, in this study, the Zero Moment of Truth, buyers are now 57% through the decision-making process before they ever pick up the phone or walk into a store.
Wow.
And so if you're waiting for the now buyer, I have a budget, I have a need, I'm ready to spend money today, and they walk into your store, they call you, and your features, advantages, and benefits don't match up perfectly with their beliefs on how to satisfy their need, want, or desire, even though they're calling you, there's a high probability you're not going to make the sale.
Wow.
If you connect with them early, as it, through the zero moment of truth, through social media, as they're out there researching, and really help them, come alongside them, give them the information that they need to make these informed purchase decisions, then what's going to happen is you're going to help them establish their beliefs. Mm. And so when they transition from a future buyer to a now buyer, their beliefs are going to be more in alignment with what your features, advantages, and benefits are, and you've got a higher probability of ultimately making the sale.
Wow, I am glad I answered that, asked that question rather. That was terrific. That, what insights. You know, we talk to small businesses all the time, and you know what? There's confusion, and I can see that people are making some mistakes. Do you want to point out one, two, or you can probably give us 30 things that people make, mistakes that people make, but give us some mistakes that you see people making.
Well, I would tell you the number one biggest mistake, if you want to know why 90% of businesses fail in social media, the ones that actually fail, they fail because they don't have a plan. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think Ben Franklin said it best, right? Failing to plan is planning to fail. And so what happens is, you know, there's a lot of hype about social media today. You can't turn on the television or open up the newspaper without somebody talking about social media. And so what I see a lot of businesses doing today is they go, oh my gosh, I've got to be there. Mm-hmm. And so they jump right into what I call engagement. You know, they go throw up a Facebook page.
Right.
They get somebody in their office to start posting some stuff on Facebook.
Right.
And that's very much, you know, fly by the seat of your pants. And the challenge with that is, you know, without a lot of thought of beginning with the end in mind of where your business is trying to go, how social media is going to help you get there, who your target audience is, it really, what is that information that they're looking for when they're, you know, early cycle in that process, then you're just going to be pushing stuff out there that people aren't going to find compelling.
Yes, I've heard people
ahead,
say they make mistake. I heard some people say they use the mistake of having an intern handle your social media campaign. What do you think about that?
Well, I would tell you that an intern or even a vice president without a strategy is not going to be very successful.
Excellent.
And certainly you've got to have a plan. There's only one way to grow in social media, and that is to have a plan, execute that plan, learn from your mistakes, and then, you know, manage by exception. Do more of the things that work well and do less of the things that didn't work. And if you don't have a plan, you have nothing to measure that with.
Right. Our special guest is Paul Slack. Paul, mention how people can get in touch with you and also your book. Mention your book.
Well, the best way to get in touch with me would be to visit my website, which is simply paulslack.net. You can also connect with me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @PaulSlack. I do have a book called Social Rules. I wrote it last summer. It's specifically for small and medium-sized businesses, really to give you a good understanding of how to develop a strategy for your business. But then even beyond that, you know, what are the tactical things you need to be doing day in and day out in social media, really to connect with these buyers and try to pull them through the sales funnel. And you can learn more about my book even at my website, paulslack.net.
I heard Paul Slack on a success CD. That was a few months ago. And I mentioned, Paul, before we came on, that I changed just about everything we do on our social media platforms that we use for our show and for our consulting business, you know, based on that. So I'm giving a testimony here of how valuable this stuff is. Paul, we've got about a minute before we take our first break. Let's get started on how businesses can get started. Again, we've got about 30 seconds before we need to go to our break. Let's get started. Where do they start?
Well, you know, as I just mentioned, you need to have a strategy first. So take one step back and just think about where's your business trying to grow? And then who is your target audience? You know, who are these people that ultimately are going to buy from you, or influencers of those that are going to buy from you? What is that information that they're looking for when they're very early cycle? So what do you think that they're going to do when they go to Google? What words are they going to type in? What kind of content do they need to help them formulate their buying criteria? And that really is the first thing they need to do to get started. And then after that, I know we're heading up to a break, is just simply understanding what is your social media currency? And this is just simply a concept of what are you willing to give away for free, if you will, to draw people and attract your target audience to you?
Let's keep that thought right there. Let's pick it up there. You are listening to Paul Slack, the special guest on the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf.
Bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf. Informing, educating, and encouraging. The Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf.
Welcome back to The Business Builders Show. Our special guest is Paul Slack. Paul, when we left for the break, we were talking about how a business can get started in all this information. And you talked, first thing you mentioned was get the strategy first, and then you were going down a different path. So let's continue down that path of where does a business get started?
Sure, you bet. So absolutely, step one is strategy. You need to define kind of what winning looks like for your business. And once you've got that figured out, then the next thing you need to do is consider what your what I call social media currency will be. And simply social media currency, you know, if you remember, we're trying to connect with these future buyers. And so they're out there very early cycle trying to get answers, trying to make a good purchase decision. You know more than they do at that moment in time. Mm-hmm. And there's ways that you can package your intellectual property, the things that you know or can provide to them, and use that as a lure, if you will, to use a fishing analogy, as a way to draw people in. So it's not just posting a Facebook post or tweeting something out there. You're saying, hey, check out this ebook on whatever the case may be. That's an example of social media currency. Another example might be a demo version of your product, or you know, some preview, if you will, of the benefits that people can experience if they purchase your product. But just understanding, you can begin to understand why strategy is so important, because if you understand your buyer, then you have a better mm-hmm. understanding of what types of social media currency mm-hmm. Are going to draw them in. Mm-hmm. And then you need to think about, really, the next piece is, you know, what are you going to do to get them to say yes? And so you uh-huh. engage with people on social media, you nurture your relationships, you give them social media currency, but ultimately you've got to give them a reason to raise their hand and say, you know what, I'm ready to talk to a sales rep, or I'm ready to right. Get a price from you. And so you've got to think about your calls to action and be considerate about that. But one piece to that whole asking for the business is what I call the 90-10 rule. And this is just an understanding of cadence. You need to ask for the business in social media if you're going to expect to get sales. But remember, 90% of what you push out in social needs to be useful and beneficial to your audience. That gives you the right for 10% of the time. Mm-hmm. You can push information out there that says, hey, if you'd like a quote, or hey, if you'd like to learn more, here's how to do that.
90-10, I love that. You know, there also, in terms of starting down the road or getting further along, Paul, there's an awful lot of options out there in terms of platforms to use. Tell us more about important platforms that you think folks should focus on to get started.
You know, isn't it amazing? I mean, there seems to be new social media platforms popping on the scene
yes.
every single day.
Yes.
You know, you've got, you know, Facebook and Pinterest and Twitter and LinkedIn, and now MySpace is coming back. And, you know, it's like, what is a business supposed to do? And I can understand how that would be really daunting or confusing to a business owner. But I want to give you a peace of mind today, and that is that you need to take what I call a blog-centric approach to your social media marketing activity, mm-hmm. which simply means that your blog, the content that you create, is central command. It is the hub of the entire process. And mm-hmm. so I want everybody that's listening to this show today to begin to think about all these social media platforms, you know, sites like Twitter, et cetera, Facebook. They're ponds that we fish in.
Mm.
We fish in those ponds because our customers are there. It's easy to find them. It's easy to connect with them there. But mm-hmm. ultimately, our goal is to try to get those fish out of the water and into our boat. And really, mm-hmm. our blog is our boat. And so we only fish in ponds that we know our customers are in. And so if we're a B2B company, and we're selling to other businesses, maybe Facebook isn't that important for us, but maybe mm-hmm. LinkedIn is really important for us, or vice versa. If we are a retail business, a local business, and a local community, maybe Facebook is really, really important, or Foursquare, and maybe not so much LinkedIn. And so we just fish in the ponds that we need to fish in, and that gives us a lot of freedom, Marty, because let's say Facebook goes the way of MySpace, and mm-hmm. it's not as popular in the future. Well, it doesn't matter, because our goal is to get everybody to our blog. We just change and go to the new pond where our customers are. So it makes it very easy to kind of be nimble as this, you know, media continues to evolve.
I heard a lot of people sighing some relief, because that is a clear direction. And I love that analogy of the pond. That's where our customers are. We need to fish there, but we're starting with the blog. So what would we say on a blog? What would be some recommendations, some things that we would write or say on our blog?
Well, great question. And one of the first things you need to understand, and again, going back to why strategy is so important, is if we understand who our customer is and we understand that we're trying to fish for future buyers, then we can begin to understand, you know, what are the things that they're researching? And we can do that through key phrase research. We can do that by talking to our sales reps and saying, hey, when the phone rings, you know, what are the top five questions that you hear almost 100% of the time? That's the kind of information that we know our target audience is trying to get answered. And so really our content strategy is all about answering the questions that we know mm-hmm. that our target audience is looking to get answered. And our blog just becomes the, you know, 300 to 600 word answer of that. And mm-hmm. so that's another reason why your blog needs to be central command, because you can't answer a complicated question in a 140 character tweet, right? I mean, that's just not going to happen.
I can't, no.
But what you can do, Marty, is you can tease a blog in your tweet, right? You can say, hey, check out our latest blog on the five biggest mistakes to avoid in blank, 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 right?
Right.
People click on that, they end up on your blog. Now you've got them in your environment. You own and control that environment. You can have calls to action all over the place. That's how you're able to convert them into a buyer.
And, you know, I love the idea of the long shelf life. It's there. You know, that has value too, doesn't it, Paul?
You know, the thing about a blog-centric approach is that the search engines view your blog as a secondary website, which basically means that every blog post that you publish is another page in that website. And the beautiful thing about that, Marty, is that you write a blog post today, Google will come and crawl that blog post, they'll put it in their search results, and 3 or 4 years from now, somebody could be doing a search in Google on that topic and actually enter your blog right on that page.
Wow.
That's never going to happen in Twitter. Okay, that's never going to happen on Facebook. The shelf life of a tweet or a Facebook post is, you know, minutes to hours.
You know, first of all, mention to our listeners again, we are listening to Paul Slack. Paul, how can people connect with you?
Well, probably the best way to reach me is via my website, which is paulslack.net, paulslack.net. Also, I'm on Twitter all day long, so reach out to me via Twitter. My Twitter handle is simply at Paul Slack. I'd love to connect with everybody on Twitter. Feel free to visit my website.
Okay, let's wrap up in terms of let's get out the key points, because this was content laden. So people are going to play this back, and they can do that on the Business Builders Global website. Paul Slack, kind of wrap it up. Give us some key points. We've got about a minute left.
Well, you know, I would say as you're thinking about a lot of this information that we discussed today, you know, step one, just take a deep breath. It really, social media marketing isn't that complicated. It's all about getting your ducks in a row. Then start thinking about, you know, what is it that would make you attractive, your business attractive to your target audience? You know, what is that niche, if you will, that you can serve really well? What is it that your future buyer is really trying to get answered very early cycle? And how can you start building content that answers those questions for them? And then really just start blogging, start getting that content out there, getting your ideas on paper. And then the fishing component of social media marketing is simply, now that I've got some blogs blog posts in my blog, let's start tweeting about those blogs. Let's put some Facebook posts out there. Start a LinkedIn discussion. Whatever social media platforms you choose are relevant for your business, and you'll be amazed at how much traffic you're going to be able to draw out of those social sites into your environment.
Terrific. You've been listening to Paul Slack on the Business Builder Show. Paul, thank you so much for joining us.
You bet, Marty. Thanks for letting me be here today.
Presenting the thought leaders of today.
It's the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf.
Presenting the thought leaders of today.
It's the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf.
Tom, let's wrap up our time with Paul Slack by going to our commentary with Dr. Tony Massari.
Hi, I'm Tony Massari with a thought about connections. Paul Slack is a powerful and productive message for entrepreneurs and small businesses. It can be summarized in 6 words. Social media is essential for success. The why and how is a bit more complex. You must have a plan. Said another way, don't fly by the seat of your pants. Ask yourself basic questions, like what do you want to accomplish and what is your goal? Stephen Covey's maxim applies, begin with the end in mind. Spend quality time thinking about and researching your answer. In other words, make time every day to reflect on what you were doing. When you make a mistake, don't spend time lamenting. Spend time learning from your mistake. Be resilient. Use the right platform. not all the available platforms. Translation, be focused and flexible. Build a blog that emphasizes service and value-added opportunities for potential customers. While listening to Marty's discussion with Paul Slack, the wise advice of Ben Franklin came to mind. Reading makes a man full, meditation a profound man, and disclosure a clear man. To this I would add, in his book Social Rules, Paul Slack recommends all three, and that's an example of America at its best. For Marty Wolf and the Business Builder Show, I'm Tony Massari with America at its best.
Thanks, Tony. Appreciate another great commentary. Carrie, you know, we were talking in the first segment and we listened to Paul Slack and talking about buying online or offline, and really you shouldn't separate those anymore. They work together and they have to work in tandem. Tom asked me a question, you know, at the break, like, let's get that a little clearer. And I think that's important that we connect buying online and offline. They have to work together. And to move to our next part of the show, I'd like to talk about how our social media discussions and communications and how our person-to-person communications need to go together also. And I found this article called 7 Things You Need to Be More Magnetic. Now, why I found this interesting, it's written by a tech writer from Inc. magazine. So Christina Desmarais, I believe that's the way you're saying it, she is a tech writer, and she's talking about things you need to be more magnetic. And this, she is definitely referring to being person, you know, person to person. And she talks about things like, the first thing she mentions is, you know, to be more magnetic, you should have curiosity. And when we're children, you were talking about spending time with your little boy, and he is very curious, asking questions, why, all that kind of stuff, right, Tom?
He's in that why phase.
He's in that why phase. And all of us are like that when we're younger. And then what happens? Well, maybe we stop asking all those questions. But is curiosity important, Carrie, for our businesses and for our any kind of relationships?
Absolutely. And would you agree, Marty, that when we're talking about being magnetic, we're pulling people to us?
Yes.
And that's getting into that sense of pull marketing, not pushing.
It connects.
Pulling.
And that's in person to person. It absolutely relates. Curiosity is what will drive you to learn more about your industry, more about your customers, create more innovative products. Something that I heard a long time ago is, when you're person to person, be interested. Don't work so hard at being interesting. Listen to what people are saying to you and be interested in them, in their communication. Don't work so hard on trying to be so interesting. Next topic is mindfulness. This is a big one in the day and age of looking at your iPad, tapping on the phone when someone is speaking to you. She suggests being mindful in the moment. When you're with someone in person, don't be looking down, tapping out a text message. And she says this is absolute rude behavior. Remember, this is coming from a tech writer.
And that gets into what you said the first. Be interested in who you're communicating with. Eye
that,
contact.
That 100%. Body language just screams, I'm not interested.
Right.
That's what I take from it.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes. That's exactly what it screams.
Indifference. Perfect.
Yep. So be mindful if you want to be more magnetic. Optimism. Not only are optimists better company, they are more successful than equally talented pessimists. Now there's an insight. Now, Metropolitan Life did this study, and it to determine the optimism levels of new salespeople. What it found was that optimists outsold pessimists by 20% in the first year, with the difference spiking to 50% during the second year. Optimism pays. By the way, Carrie, that was an emotional intelligence assessment.
Yes.
And if people would like to hear more about that, just go to our website, businessbuildersglobal.com, businessbuildersglobal.com. I will show you that report. Optimism matters in terms of being more magnetic, and quite frankly, Metropolitan Life shows and a lot of other companies show, it pays to
and
be more optimistic.
That is a key component to a successful salesperson, being optimistic.
Absolutely.
A failure is not going to put you down. It's just going to make you come back harder and harder.
And Daniel Pink talked about, what was that? Positivity ratio.
Yes.
Positivity ratio. Being more optimistic and just having it, well, that's it, being more optimistic. Another point is kindness in terms of being more magnetic. Kindness is a virtue that we usually get from our families. We see it modeled from people around us when we're younger. But actually, kindness can turn out to be a habit. It should be a habit. And she makes a recommendation. You know, she says, well, every day, you know, why don't you bestow a nice comment on a friend, on a colleague, and on a family member, which we tend to forget.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing nods in the studio, and I'm
Absolutely.
Guilty of that also.
Yep.
You know, so kindness is a very important
point. And if you want to put it in a karma term, you give to receive.
Yes, yes. Say that again. That's actually very strong in terms of mindfulness. It is.
In a karma setting, you give to receive. If you're giving out kind vibes and you're helping without expecting anything back, good things will happen to you.
Some people will call that the law of attraction. Some people will be repelled by that. Other people will say, well, no, I truly believe in that. The law of attraction, by the way, does not say you should sit on the couch and wish for things. It does talk about getting off the couch and doing things.
And it ties back to your number one point. Be interested in others. And that's helping others.
I think there's one word that can put all of this together, and it's almost to touch on what Carrie just said, is altruism. Altruistically. No expectations. Do good for others. The best of your ability. Optimistic. It's all positive stuff here without the expectations. And when you don't have the expectations, I've noticed, tenfold back.
Be a go-giver.
Absolutely.
Be a go-giver. However, gentlemen, it can be difficult when you're starting in business or you're struggling because you don't know what the next payroll is going to look like. So you tend to be in-focused, me-focused. But ultimately, you're going to win when you're an open member of a team and you're thinking that way. Here's one of my favorites, open-mindedness. Open-mindedness. And this talks about, you know, the fact that people who describe themselves as lucky tend to notice things more than self-described unlucky people. The reason is that they are simply open-minded to things. That's why they tend to become luckier. Last couple points are enthusiasm and authenticity, which authenticity, she says, I agree, that if she sees somebody that just has it all together all the time, she runs the other way. She would prefer to be around someone who is a little more authentic, a little more real, a little more engaging. So, wow, again, time has passed. So thank you again for being part of the Business Builder Show with me, your business coach. I'm Marty Wolf. Thank you, Paul Slack, for being our special guest. And you can connect with Paul at paulslack.net. We also want to thank Dr. Tony Massari for another excellent commentary. Carrie and Tom, as always, thanks for your help and support. Some great insights here today, as always.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our guest next week will be Nick Tasler. Nick is the author of Why Quitters Win. A gentleman named Adam Grant, a Wharton professor and best-selling author, has this to say about this book. Why Quitters Win delivers a surprising and important message. Our most important choices are the ones we choose not to make. Nick's engaging book has already changed how I advise leaders and how I make my own decisions. That's coming from a professor from Wharton. So join us next week and learn more about what Nick calls your decision pulse. We do our best on the Business Builder Show so you can do your best. We look forward to being with you next week on the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf. Thanks for listening and have a great week.
Bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.